Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KC and the under in the game of the day, Sunday night football. Sammy P, welcome back here on Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network, BetMGMNetwork.com, and the BetMGM Network YouTube and Twitch pages. We're now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, Wanna Bet. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. That's where we got to start, Jason. The line kept going in the Chiefs' favor. They end up winning, and it ended up not being close at the end. We get a scuffle after things wrapped. Dan Campbell very upset at Branch. He said an inexcusable act. Your takeaways from that monster game last night?
That doesn't happen to Dan Campbell's squad that often. Now, obviously, injuries played a role, right? And you kind of look at their spine, and especially being that beat up at safety, and then you know, having one of your starters limping off early. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes seemed to lock in on that, whether it was Kelce, whether it was Gray, whether it was the smaller body types, you know, Worthy and Hollywood in the middle of the field. It looked like it kind of became a little bit open for business. Look, you got to give the Chiefs credit, man. You sign a $30 million swing tackle, right? And you pay him $15 a year. Because you're not sure if your O-line really is that much better. It paid off. I mean, Hutchinson had the one strip sack, but he wasn't a menace in that game to the degree that I thought he might be. And Kansas City was more functional in the red zone. I mean, I think really if you want to distill Kansas City at their peak versus Kansas City the last couple of years and why – like the scoring efficiencies are off and why Mahomes, you know, touchdown numbers are off. It's come down to the red zone. And we just saw it rear its ugly head in Jacksonville, whatever, 5-6 days prior with the pick six. You know, they were able to get the ball in the end zone one way or the other, even if it included Mahomes keeping it himself on an option play. So, like, they're always going to be in the mix. The Lions, to me, are a team that, like, I've been waiting for a while for them to make a power move at the deadline or in an offseason. Like, you might be a little beat up on the back end. You still might not be where you want to be there. Do they go out and get a pass rusher? There's going to be – there already is a feeding frenzy for pass rush, potential pass rush. Like, are they going to beat out a Howie Roseman, you know, or an Andy Reid for something like that? If they do, I think it could put them over the top. But that ownership group that really hasn't been, you know, they haven't been into taking on big, big salaries and taking big swings like that in season. I think they seriously should consider doing so.
Couple guys available, Trey Hendrickson, Bradley Chubb, Cam Jordan, just to throw a couple out there. We shall see, of course. I want to just read a stat, and I'm not going to say anything. I want you to react. Since 2019, only 12 teams have played a penalty-free game in the NFL. That's 1,600 games.
How many are the Chiefs?
Chiefs have done it three of 12.
I honestly would have guessed maybe like four or five. Look, there's some pretty good NFL ref stats. Check them out on Twitter. They put out some pretty good stuff on these crews and how they do with certain teams. I look at it fairly religiously, and it seems to me, and I know the Chiefs win a lot of games, but I'm talking about covering. I'm talking about specificity in terms of types of calls that go versus them versus other people. It's hard to bet against the Chiefs. I did it last night. I took 3.5 with the Lions. I thought the Lions could win that game. Shame on me. And I'm not saying that officials were the difference in the game, but like, did I think Hutchinson was being held a few times in critical spots? Yeah, I mean, but I guess that's every game. It feels like they get the benefit of the doubt an awful lot. It does.
Ravens, who you cover on a daily basis, 1-5 now. They were expected to lose more than touchdown dogs yesterday. Couldn't do anything offensively. Now they go on a bye, and you expect them to return with Lamar after that, but still dealing with a lot of other key injuries. I was like, okay, maybe at 1-5, since we've only seen it happen once with the 14-team playoff, maybe you get a little bit of value with the very soft schedule they have moving forward to make the playoffs. Nope, they're even money. They're still even money, and BetMGM has +150 for them to win the division. How do you reconcile that? Like, how do you explain that? Is this just all priors and people expecting them to just go off moving forward, or what?
I think they do a great job of manipulating the media. If you ran a study on off-season grades and draft grades, try to find anyone giving the Ravens even a B or B plus. Now, their drafts haven't been that really all that good. They just gave Adafe Owe, who they drafted to replace Matt Judon, because they were too cheap to keep Matt Judon off a franchise tag. Like, they traded him for a serviceable safety, because despite only hoarding defensive backs, they don't have enough good ones. But like every year they get an A in the draft. Like everybody in their offseason is like, oh, they're so brilliant. Like, I do think that seeps into the consciousness. And people are like, it's such a great front office. And I'm like, not so much since Ozzie Newsome. Like, he left them with Lamar Jackson. Like, he handed them Lamar Jackson. What have they really done with it? So they have major holes that I think people just gloss over. Like, dude, they didn't get a pressure from any of their edge defenders in that game yesterday. Zero pressures from their entire group of edge defenders. And it's not even that out of character. So I just think people get like wedded to this idea that like, well, everybody loves their off seasons and everybody loves their drafts. And so everybody says it's the best roster in football. Well, who do you ever have to chip? Like, they've got the worst pressure rate in the NFL, and their rate of being chipped or adding anyone to be a second person on the edge to stop an edge defender, it's like twice as low as anybody else in the league. So, no, I think they've got fundamental, fatal flaws. It's just not reflected in these markets. But, I mean, on WannaBet, the last 2 weeks, I've been telling people, begging them, take plus money on Pittsburgh to win this division while you still can, and take plus money on the Ravens to miss the playoffs while you still can. Because even when Roquan Smith comes back, he stinks. He's a $3 million. Really stinks. So yeah, Lamar coming back is great and all, but like, they're gonna reel off 9 wins. Like, they struggled with the Browns with Flacco a quarterback for 3 quarters. Like, I mean, look at what Buffalo did to them, and then watch Buffalo's offense against it.
So we're still here, Sam?
I have no idea.
No. Okay. I don't know what's happening. Okay, we are still here. We'll try to reconnect with Jason Lockefour in a moment. I saw that the video was starting to lag there a little bit. Wasn't sure who was still there. I was shocked by that, man, just to see that number for them to go down to 1-5, and I know it's without Lamar and it was expected and all that, but just to be sitting there with this record, the run that the Ravens are going to have to go on. They can very well do it if you look at their schedule moving forward, but it's not looking great. And that defense, I know they didn't give up a ton yesterday, but Puka did get injured in that game. That defense isn't very healthy. So it's just sometimes it's not your year and everything goes against you and you got to move on. Jason, you with us?
Win total 8.5 on Baltimore.
Something happened. You guys got me?
Yep, we got you.
Yeah, I don't know where I froze up or where you lost me, but don't believe the preseason hype. That this front office has major issues. They don't have a left tackle. They don't have anybody who can rush the passer. They got all these DBs. None of them make plays on the ball in flight. And Lamar behind this offensive line holds the ball too long. It brings out the worst in him. And, they're getting beat in the trenches. That you can't overcome that in real time in season. So, no, I think they're cooked.
We know how good Baker Mayfield is. How good are the Tampa Bay Bucs, though, as a whole?
They're really good at winning football games, and they've done it shorthanded. And I hear so many people making so many excuses for so many teams with injuries, Baltimore. And, I mean, go look at what these guys have had to do without their left tackle in games, with five-man offensive line units that have never played together before, with a Hall of Fame wide receiver and a guy who was maybe the best slot receiver in football before he suffered that season-ending injury last year. And with a rookie wide receiver who doesn't even get through that game, so let's just throw game-winning bombs to whoever's available. They've obviously dealt with injuries on defense as well. I think Todd Bowles is the least respected head coach in the NFL. Baker used to be one of the least respected quarterbacks, but that's obviously changing. They just find ways to win. I don't know what else to say. They will get healthier. They're one of the teams that's been able, and the Eagles might not be what they were, right? And who knows where that's going to go. But even at the height of the Eagles, they were one team that was able to stare at the belly of that beast. And while nobody was beating Hurts, you know, they could at least say, you know, we got him. And they could have got him again. Would I be shocked to see Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl? No, I don't think I would be.
Yeah, without a lot of his weapons healthy right now. So we'll see once they all get back on the field. Joe O, Sammy P with Jason Lock and Four. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I know it was a soft opponent on the road, or seemingly. That's the reputation New Orleans Saints have. But in the first half, every time Drake May threw a ball down the field, he was connecting for a touchdown. Last Sunday night, win on the road in Buffalo. Where's Drake May now? Where has he already come early in year number two?
Yeah, I think he's knocking on the door of joining that whatever. I mean, I don't know if he still put Mahomes in his own category just because of what he's done in the postseason versus everybody else. Right. And then you've got this subcategory of guys who are knocking on the door to do it the first time. And you've got, a Stafford trying to do it again. I think he's trying to get entree into that group and he's making headway. Postseason is a whole different animal. And that's where, I think you start talking about where you are in the pantheon of the game. You've got to have some signature moments in the postseason. You've got to get to a postseason. A lot's got to happen, but there's not much to not like about this kid's game. He's come so far in the free and loose, fast and free department. In the past, things start going well for them, and I'd be looking to live bet an interception because it's all right, now he's going to get a little too cocky. But Vrabel comes in, there's real guardrails. There's a lot to be said about coaching, We can talk about Josh McDaniels as a head coach and what a disaster that's been. But running offenses in New England, pretty damn efficient. So, no, I think he's in good hands. I think the cast around him should get better over time. Things are really wide open in this league in general. There's a lot of really bad teams. There's not many great teams. I think they've got a chance to make some headway here. And, I think this is a tricky little spot for me for Buffalo tonight. So, I'm a Drake May believer at this point in time. I think he has the potential to join the NFL's elite quarterbacks by season's end.
Only have about a minute, Jason. You mentioned one of the games, Buffalo, Atlanta, Chicago, Washington. Anything you really like?
Yeah, I think Bijan goes off here. I don't buy Buffalo's defense. And yeah, people, Oliver coming back, that's great. He's not a two-gap, elite run stuffer. That's a D-line that's a little light in the backside for me in the best of times. And no Milano. You look at a Bijan leading the team in receiving yards, leading the team in rushing yards. What a scrimmage monster he is. Penix looked much better last week, but I still think this is going to be a relatively conservative approach with him. I think Bijan can go off tonight. I've got a ladder, 100 scrimmage yards, 125 scrimmage yards, 150 scrimmage yards. I think there's an anytime touchdown in there. I'm starting to buy Atlanta's defense. So, they're they're live for me there. And the second game, the number's getting a little big for me. You know, I've just got some things pegged off of a Washington money line. I got to see this Bears operation win on the road to believe they're going to win on the road, new head coach or not. You know, I think Jaden Daniels puts on a bit of a show tonight. I think they're able to run the ball with the Kroski Merritt kid and, you know, depending on real health, what to see that in game, Debo. I think Washington wins that game. You know, I think Jaden Daniels can throw for a couple touchdowns in that game.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, Wanna Bet Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Thank you, Jason. Talking again Sunday morning. All right. Jason Lockenfora, one of my co-hosts on BetMGM Game Day Sunday mornings. We'll do Monday morning market moves, college football style, next on the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, Sammy P, let's do some Monday morning market moves, talk about college football as things line up heading into next week. Some good games, some games, and maybe you're surprised that a team is laying 7-8 points. We'll get to all that, but I can't believe, Sam, it's been, what, an hour and 21 minutes into the show, and we have failed to mention one person's name. We've got to mention their name. We've talked around them. We've talked around the situation. It's what it was everybody's immediate reaction. Tell me why or why Kurt Cignetti will not go to Penn State. Where are you at on this?
Because Indiana's a better job right now.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know that people have realized this yet. That with the state of college football, everything he's getting, the money that they put into the stadium and the program. Like, we grew up, Indiana's a basketball school. Football's laughable. Are they? I know it's in their blood there, but are they at this point? It seems to be all about football at this point. And you're right. Indiana is a better job. With Cignetti gets everything he asked for. Keep on. Google me doing it all. And it's like we're in other sports when we talk about markets and schools and brand and all that. Doesn't matter, does it? Is he lacking attention at Indiana? No, the college football world has been talking about Indiana for the last 2 years. I don't see him leaving. People could talk about the roots. A lot of times, those don't really matter. Like, you don't really want to go back home. He has no pressure, and he's exceeding expectations again. And everyone expecting regression, and no, the Hoosiers are better.
Yeah. I mean, you think about, let's go back to 2000 and some of the powerhouse programs that you would never think could potentially take a back seat to Indiana. USC, Clemson, Penn State, Georgia, LSU. I mean, I'm not saying that Indiana is better than all of them. But if you're a hotshot recruit right now, you're considering Indiana over maybe all of those schools for the first time ever, question mark? I mean, it's got to be. Indiana was a laughingstock. You go back a couple years, they were a joke. So this is an unbelievable turnaround. You got Mark Cuban putting money into the program now. That's where Indiana's at. Mark Cuban finally says, oh, I'm going to give you money now. So this is a guy who's got a chip on his shoulder. The program has a chip on its shoulder. Him leaving for Penn State would be stupid at this point. Now, I'm not saying he's going to stay there forever because there are some jobs that you have to take. But there's not many that are better than Indiana right now, that's for sure.
Mm-mm. So I'm sure you've seen even more than me, but Cignetti is the first name that pops. That's the dream hire. We don't think you're getting them, obviously. What are the names? What are the connections that really come to mind? that you've heard and like, okay, that makes sense?
I've heard two that I think are very realistic, and they're not retreads. Well, I don't want to say retreads. They're not like guys that I think you would think. The first one is actually Bob Chesney, who's followed up Cignetti at James Madison. Chesney is a head coach, is 125-51. He's got 5 Patriot League titles. He was at Holy Cross, and then when Cignetti left James Madison, Chesney went there. He's 48, he's young, he wins, players like him, and that could be the next, I don't want to say next Cignetti, but if you want to follow the Indiana model, you take a guy like this, not some guy who's been at 6 schools in 15 years. You know, you want stability, and a guy like that definitely puts in the time. He's gone through the ranks, Johns Hopkins, Assumption, Holy Cross, James Madison. I think he's going to be the next guy up for a big job. So Chesney to me is maybe the guy. Number two, you're going to laugh. I know you are, but I've heard this name a ton. You ready? You sitting down?
I'm sitting.
Pat Fitz. I've heard it.
Uh-huh. I like it. I like it. Yeah. He's been forgotten about in the national landscape. I haven't seen anybody bring up his name to any job. He's made the money. Northwestern takes down Penn State on Saturday. That would be hilarious. He was connected, or the rumor, you remember when you were covering them, was always Michigan. And it was kind of laughable to me, and probably to you too. Like, he's not ready for a job like that. But to the level they're probably going to have to go, that would make sense. The names that I keep hearing that I'm just not into, Manny Diaz, Matt Rhule, like people keep throwing those out because of the connections to Penn State. Like, I don't think that's going to get people excited. I don't know that Fitz does, but he won. He would exceed expectations a good amount of times, and that's what they need over there.
He won with players that stink at Northwestern.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. The recruit at Northwestern and the recruit at Penn State, completely different players. Now, maybe that'll change with NIL, but you're competing for much bigger fish at Penn State. So if you elevate the coach to a program that has more money and more recruiting power, maybe it would work. But I think Bob Chesney is a name to really keep an eye on, the head coach of James Madison.
Good one. I like it. Before we jump to the card, I just wanted to get your reaction on one other name that I heard Klatt throw out, which I thought was like, that got my attention. It was like the last name he threw out, and I was like, ooh, yeah, that's probably a name that I would definitely go after if I'm running Penn State. Brian Hartline.
That would move the meter, you think?
I just look at the receivers he brings in. Like, you get a young guy, might be your forever guy. That's why that would excite me a little bit. Don't you think they need someone who's not? It sounds like the names that you brought up, you don't want to really go to the retread route. And I'd be a little worried. Like, what do you have to lose at this point? And he's probably not going to command. Like, to get Fitzgerald, what is that going to cost? The guy just made a ton of money off a lawsuit. So what is that going to command to get him? I mean, that would make sense. His kid just graduated high school, right? So the timing makes sense. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be coaching his kid on any level anymore. Like, he's going to be going off to college. Timing makes sense there. But so you think he needs to climb the ranks, even though he's done a lot at Ohio State on the head coaching front?
No, it's funny. You're like, oh, well, Manny Diaz doesn't move the meter. Like, I don't know that Brian Hartline moves the meter. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a good hire. I just think if you're looking to make a splash, that's not the name. But if you're looking to
I look at that as like a Freeman name. Hire. I look at sure. that as like a Freeman type hire.
I don't know what they're going to do. I have no insight on this. I heard a lot of Rhule the other day. There's a lot of connective tissue there between some of the decision makers and Matt Rhule. Fine. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's wild that Penn State goes from national title contender in early September to firing the coach on October 12th. Life comes at you fast, huh?
Got to find someone with upside because you've got to do better than Franklin. We laugh at Franklin. He had to go, but he also did some good things over the course of 11, 12 years that he was there. All right. The card next week. Well, the biggest game is Georgia Ole Miss. There's no doubt about that. It is 7. Saturday afternoon, Georgia laying 7 at home, total 54 and a hook.
Ole Miss was sleepwalking through their game against Wazoo. Did you happen to catch any of that game? It's like Lane wanted to do nothing and put nothing on tape. They struggled against Washington State, 24-21, the final score. If that's not a look ahead, nothing is. I mean, they were sluggish. They were slow. They were 33-point favorites and won 24-21. How do you think practice will be all week at Oxford? Huh? How do you think that's going to go with Lane cracking the whip? Initial push, though, did come on Georgia. They opened at Circa at 6, and now we're at 7 at a bunch of spots, including BetMGM. That will be a very highly handled game. Should be a really, really good game. Here's one that's also big, and I know you have a lot of thoughts on this rivalry because you've grown up around it. How about Notre Dame and USC?
Yep.
Notre Dame opens up at Circa as a 9-point favorite. It is 7.5 at a bunch of spots. Chris has 7 offshore. Initial push on USC.
Total. 59.5 and climbing.
62 now.
It's going over. Oh, 62? I just saw 59.5.
62
a few minutes
now.
Ago. Jesus. It's probably still going over. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I'm telling you, that was not that high a few minutes ago. Okay. It makes sense. Not under. Not for me in that one. That's a good amount. Like, there are a few games that really pop. I wonder which ones are going to be popular underdogs. Is Ole Miss? Probably not, as you mentioned, off of last week's performance. USC, they beat up Michigan, man. We were heads up on two games. You got one right. I got one right. The one you got right was Texas. The one I got right was USC. Man, they handled them. And they're going to have another opportunity here to impress in front of the country going into South Penn. I'm looking forward to that game. I could see it coming down a little bit more, but I get it. Another sizable point spread here in the SEC, which could be a very good game. How about Bama laying 8 against Tennessee? Numbers 8. But this has been a tough road here for Bama. So over the weekend, it's a push in their game. They end up winning by 3 on the road at Missouri. I think that sat 3 all week. I never really saw it come off the 3. And there you get a push there. And now they're going to have to lay 8 against the Vols.
Bama's been very impressive. And it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I saw this stat that Bama has faced an opponent every week that had no losses. Isn't that something? Like, the team coming in did not have a loss. And Bama has beaten all of them except for Florida State. I mean, to go Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri in a row, bang, 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 and win all 3 is very impressive. And Ty Simpson, I mean, you want to talk about Heisman Trophy contenders? He's right there with Carson Beck. Depending on the sports book you look at, those two are mano a mano. They are right there near the top. Simpson made some throws on Saturday that were insane. No thoughts on that game, though, yet. I don't know what I'm going to do with Alabama-Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. And you look at Tennessee, they've been in a lot of close games. Arkansas, they win by a field goal on Saturday. They won at Mississippi State in overtime. And that one, remember that Georgia loss in overtime, 44-41? So my first thought was the +8 just because it's been 4 really tough games in 4 weeks here. And this is the 4th one in that stretch. But more to look at with that one. Vandy's favorite over LSU, and they're back in Vandy. It opened 1.5. Vanderbilt now a 2.5-point favorite against LSU. That's going to be an early game on Saturday.
There are 3s at a couple books, and all the 2.5s are getting pricey. So BetMGM has 2.5 minus 15. A couple other books, minus 18. Pinnacle and Chris are at 3. They moved right there. It didn't take long. I mean, this line opened up in Vegas at 1:47 p.m. yesterday at a pick 'em. Hasn't been 24 hours, and we're from pick to 2.5, 3. Those are bets from respected players. Not big limits because you can't bet a lot on Sunday, the week before, but definitely some notable accounts betting Vanderbilt there. Two other quick ones. Iowa, Penn State. What was this look ahead with Franklin and Drew Aller? I don't even know. I don't know. Iowa is now a 3.5-point home favorite against Penn State. Remember, Franklin out, Drew Aller done for the season. Yep. Iowa 3, 3.5. And then here's the one that's going to be very popular. Oh, well, Oregon will bounce back. Oh, they'll be fine. Got to go all the way across the country and take on Rutgers. The number's been bet up a little bit. I don't know how high we're going to go. Oregon minus 15.5 out to 16.5 at Rutgers. What do you think the room's going to bet in that one, huh? Oregon bounce back.
Yep, I think we know. Will the room be on Oklahoma again? 4.5 at South Carolina. Expect Mateer to be healthier, but it was a bad performance, which we can dive into.
Mateer's dead. I'm sorry.
He's dead?
It's over. It's over. He,
oh, the Heisman thing. Mm-hmm. Not in general. He's still alive.
It's over. Okay. He's not technically dead, but the Heisman is dead.
Probably.
Not healthy. Buddy Morty, Mark, he's not Lewis, healthy.
NFL. I know. He's not. He's not. Paul told us. Steering wheel. We'll do the NFL on the other side. BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday Morning Market Moves continues. We'll hit on the NFL. Monday Moons coming up at the top of the hour. We've got moves, Sam, National Football League. Okay, I'm sure you're probably sick of hearing about them, and because I'm starting to get to the point where I'm kind of sick of talking about them. But we had a lot of garbage games yesterday, and we had the Island game, the biggest game of the day, and the Chiefs were impressive. Holy crap. This opened 10.5, Chiefs favored by 10.5 against the Raiders, who won yesterday and they were supposed to win. They play in a garbage team. It is now 13 on Monday morning. The Chiefs are favored by 13 points, divisional matchup against Vegas.
If you like the Chiefs and you'd like to get some CLV, log into BetMGM right now and lay Kansas City minus 11.5, because that is still the number at our title sponsor. When you see them at 11.5 and a bunch of sharp offshores at 13, you know what to do. I can only take you so far. Joe can only take you so far. That 11.5 probably doesn't last. Now, what happens when we get to 13? That remains to be seen. I mean, guys could come in and bet the 13. That could very well happen. But when you see these other books at 12.5 and 13, and you have the ability to lay 11.5. Wink, wink, basically. That's all I'm going to say.
We're waiting on the results of Monday Night Football, but we are already seeing a move against the Bears backing the Saints. It opened at 6, and it's 5.5. I see books that are down to 4.5 right now. Chicago, a home favorite against New Orleans next Sunday. Again, there will be probably another move based on how the Bears perform tonight, either pro New Orleans or pro Chicago. But they're like, yeah, no, the Bears shouldn't be 6-point favorites against anybody. And Rattler isn't playing awful ball.
Rattler. Every time I have a chance, you know what's going to happen. New England's going to make another miraculous touchdown throw. And May did that a ton. Chicago, though, laying 5.5? Not for me. You know this opens 6. And now a couple books are down to 5. There's a 4.5 there. Yeah, they're moving on Rattler for sure, which I understand. The total also moving up. New Orleans offense has been a lot better over the last couple weeks than it was early in the season. I think Kellen Moore is finding the right buttons to push. That could be an over bet for me, and I think we're gonna keep climbing as we get closer to kickoff.
Yeah, I don't think New Orleans is terrible. Do you?
They're not the worst team in the NFL anymore, like a lot of people said in the summer.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fair point. We don't want to go too far, but maybe not the worst team in the NFL. As far as the sides that were on the move, I think those were the ones that stood out. You've got the Bills and the Ravens. Those teams, those will be your two teams on bye for next week. This one kind of stands out. It didn't move at all, but it's a game we have not talked about because it was a two-touchdown line. I wasn't impressed with the Packers. It's like, why are you letting Cincinnati just hang around? They ended up running enough on them, over 150 yards in the game, and doing enough to win, not cover. So Cincinnati plus 14 backers, they were happy. Flacco, bad first half, more time on the field, more time to connect with Chase. Like when he was targeting Chase, they did well. See that ridiculous catch in the corner of the end zone by him? Flacco wasn't terrible in the second half. Makes me think maybe the Bengals are bettable as long as he's playing.
Whew.
That's Thursday.
This one's tough.
That game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so torn on a lot of these games so far this week. You want to do the Thursday game now?
No, we can go wherever. I was just bringing up that Green Bay-Cincinnati game. It's Pittsburgh minus four at Cincinnati and Green Bay minus 6.5 at Arizona, which feels like a lot. Okay, you said it kind of jokingly, kind of not. You proved to be right. If I have to bet on the Cardinals, I want Brissett out there, not Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and I don't know what the status is. I mean, Google basically guessing as well. He's got the foot injury. I thought Brissett was just fine. And a lot of things work down the field that don't tend to work with Kyler, because the one thing about Kyler is he tries to play Superman ball and he just decides I'm going to spin around in a circle and run around and go sideline to sideline and just I'm going to run for 50 yards and gain two, where Brissett is just going through his reads and making decisions. Kyler is, what do they call him when they're kids? Kyler's a ball hog. There we go. I got there. Kyler Murray's a ball hog. He just wants all the attention on him. Brissett is out there distributing and making the smart play. Does he have the tools that Kyler has? No. But that team looked efficient. You know who else liked Jacoby Brissett yesterday? Trey McBride. Have a game, man. Throw your best players the ball around the goal line. And that's what Brissett did with Trey McBride. I would take Arizona. I thought that was what we were talking about. But Pittsburgh-Cincinnati –
either one.
Look, how much is the bump for Joe Flacco? Like, how long does it last? There's a lot of people that think, all right, backup quarterback comes in, team rallies around, team plays well, and then after that performance, not great. The Andy Dalton rule, some would say. Oh, maybe Dalton is serviceable. And then that next game, disaster. I don't love Flacco against Pittsburgh. I don't. The only saving grace is that it's a short week. Pittsburgh has to go on the road days after playing. Like, I hate these Thursday night road favorites. We have seen a ton of slip-ups. Think about Los Angeles against San Francisco. Think about Philly against the Giants. We have seen favorites be very, very flat, especially favorites on the road. I don't know that I'm going to bet it. I kind of want to give Flacco one more spin, though.
I'm there, too. And now we're at 5.5. Let's say we're at 6. Are you on Cincinnati plus 6?
Yes.
I think so, too. And so the positive side for Pittsburgh is, forget Aaron Rodgers. It's about the defense. They're healthy now. So they were coming off the bye and good performance, right? But facing a rookie quarterback, I don't think that Dylan Gabriel was really set up to do much. Going on the road in the division at Pittsburgh, that's going to be tough. The Steelers' defense was pretty terrible in the first month. They were dealing with a lot of injuries, like four or five starters were down, but now everybody's back. So I think we're going to get a clearer view of what the real Pittsburgh Steelers are. But laying 5.5, 6 in the division? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I would look to the dog in that game. Any others? We talked about the ones that moved. The biggest point spread, certainly Kansas City this week. They're going to be popular in Survivor if you have not used them. Looking for any monster matchups? Not really. It's another double Monday Night Football week. It's another Sunday morning game. We've got another game in London. That's going to be the Rams and the Jaguars. Let's go there. Rams are laying 3 going to London. This is Jacksonville's second home. Puka unlikely to play. That has come out this morning in this game. Jaguars off a loss. You get the big win against Kansas City. Now they lose. Now they go to their second home, London. Jaguars +3.
You're going to play Puka on that surface? You going to play him out there at Wembley?
Oh, he's not playing. Yeah,
it says unlikely. Like he's gonna play. Yeah, it says unlikely for sure.
He's out. He's out. He ain't traveling.
So they opened this game at 2.5 on the Rams side. And, of course, they got bet up because people do like the Rams and Stafford and McVay as that short favorite. The total has gotten the most money so far in this game. 46.5 down to 45.5. And I see some 44.5 offshore. They are betting on defense here. That makes sense between Jacksonville and Los Angeles. That speaks for sure.
Oh, I can't believe we forgot about this.
Which one?
And it's up.
Vrabel?
Vrabel. Vrabel going back to Tennessee, laying a touchdown. Can you lay it with the Pats?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I could. Vrabel, I was told, wants to stomp a hole in their head. That's what I was told. About Vrabel going into Nashville. Uh-huh. It was actually worse. I can't say what it was really relayed as. But this one's personal. New England goes into Tennessee where the Titans fired Vrabel to hire Brian Callahan.
Ooh. He's going to coach circles around him. Everything that he's been how much has he saved for this game? Like, I would think everything. It's going to be like a playoff game for him.
Going to stop. If they can if they can make them cry, they will.
I love that. Yeah, they're going to make my card. There's no doubt about it. And the question is, do we have to do it now? Are we going to get to 7.5? Well, Pinnacle's at 7.5. BetMGM is still at a slightly juiced 6.5 right now.
I don't make a lot of bets on Monday. I would bet 6.5 right now, knowing full well that you could get off it if you want. Hell, there is a chance if you really want to. I know a lot of guys like Spanky would do something like this because they're not betting narratives or teams. Guys like that will lay 6.5 and then bet 7.5 and try and middle it on 7. That's what the numbers guys do, the ARB guys do, the ones that are making money with math. They're laying the favorite early, looking at the market move. Oh, well, let's lay 6.5 because Pinnacle's at 7.5. And Chris is at a juice 7. So they know. What do you think the public's going to do with this game? It's only Monday. By the time we get to Friday, man, I'm not saying 9 or 8. 10, but through 8. 7. Through 7 for sure. My guess.
It's going to be 8. It's already through 7 at some spots. Those 6.5s might be gone when we wrap the show in an hour. So just keep that in mind. If you know you're going to be betting on New England, you should do it right now at 6.5 at a couple of spots where it's available. Joe O, Sammy P, Monday moons. Moons.
Moon.
Get your moons ready. All right. Everybody's involved. That's next. An hour to go. Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.